إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Okay, today this is our sixth session, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 2, Dr. Fahd Abdul Rahim, Islamic University, Medina. And this is our preview for Medina Book 2, in which we are attempting to acquaint ourselves with the most important grammatical points and also familiarize ourselves with vocabulary for the first half of Medina Book 2 in preparation for our full study of Medina Book 2, yani in the very near future. What we're doing here is trying to preview, take a look at and become acquainted with the grammatical points for each lesson, as well as the vocabulary, trying to memorize as much of the vocabulary as possible, so that when we enter into the full study of Medina Book 2, inshallah, we'll find some ease in the transfer going from Book 1 to Book 2, the transition from Book 1 to Book 2. We will not be, as those of you who have been with us know, we will not be doing the exercises, although occasionally we might take a look at something from the exercises if there's a need to do so. So today, from the homework, what we should be doing is we should have, for homework, took a quick review of the English keys and vocabulary for the previous lessons, 1 through 5, which we covered in the previous sessions. And then, inshallah, today we're going to take a good look at the English key for lesson number 6. All of the points, 1 through 11, and the vocabulary. And as well, we're going to look at the Arabic text for lesson number 6 on pages 36, 37, and 38. As far as the Arabic text, we're going to read it. We're going to translate it into English, and we're going to also try to identify and highlight the grammar points and the new vocabulary for this particular lesson. So, without any delay, let's get right into the quick review, and this time we're going to do a quick review. Lesson 6 is somewhat lengthy. There are 11 grammatical points, and there's also a lengthy, almost 3-page Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson that we're going to be doing today. So that we are able to give full time to this particular lesson, we're going to make our quick review of the first 5 lessons very, very quick. Okay. In the first lesson, there were a number of points, 6 points, but what we want to look at are just a couple of them. The most important of them is inna. And we've discussed and reviewed matters related to inna in the previous sessions. So all I want to do here is highlight some of the most important things that you need to know about inna. At least 6 or 7 points you should be able to identify without looking at the notes. You should know that inna, for example, is harf, tawqeed, wa nasb. So these are 2 things. It's a particle of tawqeed, which means emphasis, and nasb, which means it makes the noun that's connected to it, the ism, inna, mansoob. Okay, so these are 2 points. That it is a particle of tawqeed, so its meaning is emphasis. And it is also a particle of nas, which means that it makes the ism inna mansoob, puts it in the accusative case. Also, we want to emphasize 2 other points, and that is that inna is only used with a nominal sentence. It's always used with a nominal sentence, a jumla ismiya, mubtada and khabar. And the change that it brings about, in addition to making the mubtada, which now becomes ism inna mansoob, it also, we change the names that we identify the essential elements of the jumla ismiya, the mubtada and khabar, we change them to ismu inna and khabaru inna. Additionally, we want to remind ourselves that inna, when it's used with pronouns, then we have to convert the pronouns of raf to the pronouns of nasb, because the ism inna has to be mansoob, so we have to use the mansoob or the nasb form of the pronoun. Okay, pronouns are mabniun, but we use the pronouns that are specifically used for when they're in the position or the place where they should be mansoob. Okay, so that's basically what we wanted to say. I mean, we should also note that as far as in the end, laysa, that we'll see later on, we should always keep in mind that sometimes the order of the jumla ismiyah may be reversed. Yani instead of the mubtada coming first, it may come delayed and the khabar may come first. So we have to pay attention to that when we start talking about changing the ism inna to mansub. We have to make sure which word is the ism inna. Normally it's going to be the word immediately following inna. However, sometimes the order may be reversed. The other thing we want to say about inna that also came in this lesson, la'alla came in this lesson, so we want to say that inna has akhawat, and from them are la'alla, and lakinna, and ka'anna, and anna, that, and later. That all of these, including la'alla that came in this lesson, la'alla, its significant, its meaning is either hope or fear, yani at-taraji or ishfaq. But it works just like inna, and the akhawat of inna also that we'll see later on, lakinna and ka'anna, that we'll see in lesson, that we saw in lesson 3, that they also, they all work like inna, and this is important for us to know, that they all use with the jumla ismiyah, and the mubtada and khabar become known as ismu and khabaru, yani inna or anna or ka'anna or lakinna, or whichever one of the akhawat of inna we are using. They all work the same way, so we should keep that in mind. Also in this lesson we had dhu, which means having or possessing. It's from the Asma al-Khamsa, very important. It's from Asma al-Khamsa, which means that these five nouns in the Arabic language, when they are in idhafa, they have a special i'rab, a secondary sign of i'rab. And instead of the dhamma, kasra, and fatah, the sign of the i'rab, instead of dhamma is waw, instead of kasra is ya, instead of fatah is alif. This particular word, dhu, is always used in idhafa, so the word following it is always going to be mudhafun ilayhi majrua. We also had in this lesson am, yani that means or, O-R, and it's used in an interrogative sentence. It has a specific manner in which it's used. It's used to ask a question when you have a choice between two things. And the first choice must always come after the hamza, hamzatul istifham, and the second choice comes after am, as in atabibun anta. M. Muhandisin. Tabibun is a choice, Muhandisin is a choice. One of them has to come after the Hamza, and the other one has to come after M without anything separating the first choice from Hamza til Istifham or Hamza til Ta'ayin, and the second choice should not be separated from M. Okay, there were some other points in Lesson 1. These are the most important points from Lesson 1. In Lesson 2, we had Laysa. And what we want to say about Laysa, the important things, and there are several number of points that you have to know about Laysa, maybe 9 or 10 points, but yani the most important of those points is that Laysa is a verb. It means is not. It's used to make, yani to negate something, okay? It's always used with the jumla ismiya, like inna, except that the mubtada and khabar now become known as ismu laysa and khabaru laysa. And the rule concerning i'rab for laysa is the opposite of inna. So the ismu of inna is mansub, and the opposite is true for laysa. The khabar of laysa is mansub. The khabar of laysa is mansub. So for example, if you had a sentence like al-baytu jadidun, and you applied laysa to that jumla ismiya, so al-baytu, the mubtada, becomes ismu laysa, and jadidun, the khabar, becomes khabru laysa, and the sentence becomes laysa al-baytu jadidan. Or if you use ba, laysa al-baytu bi jadidin. Okay, the ba is optional. You can use it or not use it. But the original rule is that the ism of laysa is marfu'un, and the khabar of laysa is mansub. Laysa al-baytu jadidan, or laysa al-baytu bi jadidin. That's the most important thing we want to say about laysa, that the mubtada and khabar become ismu laysa and khabaru laysa, and the ism laysa is marfu'un. Primary sign of being marfu'un is dhamma. The khabar of laysa is mansub, and the primary sign of being mansub is fatha, unless we add the ba. Now, if the khabar of laysa is a prepositional clause or prepositional phrase, a ja wal majrur, preposition and its object, then in that case, with the ba cannot be used. We will not use ba in that case. So that's what we wanted to say in reference to lesson 2. In lesson 3, we had the af'alu at-tafdil, and we said that this means when we're showing comparison between two things, something is bigger than something else or smaller than something else, or the superlative degree of the adjective where something is the biggest or the smallest. they both, the comparative and the superlative degree of the adjective, both use the same pattern or wazn of afa'alu. That's why it's called afa'alu at-tafdil. So kabir becomes akbaru and sagir becomes asgaru. If we are showing comparison, it's going to be akbaru min with the preposition min. If we are showing yani that something is the biggest or the smallest or yani the superlative form, then we're not going to use min. It's going to be followed by a pronoun such as akbaru talibin. Fil fasl, for example. Okay, so the other thing we want to say about this pattern, af'alu at-tafdil, the pattern for an adjective in the comparative or superlative degree, is that the same pattern is used even if it's as adjective for a masculine noun or a feminine noun or a singular or plural. It's going to be using the same. You say, Bilalun atwalu min, Aminatu atwalu min, Al-abana'u atwalu min, Al-banatu atwalu min. Doesn't matter if it's masculine, feminine, singular, plural. The same pattern, the same pattern of af'alu at-tafdil is going to be used. In lesson 2, we also had from the akhawatu inna lakinna, which means but, and we had ka'anna, which means it looks as if, or it seems like. Yani there's a resemblance between two things, or yani you're not sure about it. Yani I think, I'm not certain. Yani athun. In this lesson, we also had the numbers from 11 to 20, and they were divided into four yani points. The first point, 11 and 12, the two parts of the number are going to be in agreement with the thing being counted in terms of the gender, masculine or feminine. That's for 11 and 12. For 13 to 19, the first part is going to be opposite in gender of the thing being counted, and the second part is going to be in agreement with it. And the third point that we want to note is that these compound numbers from 11 to 19 are mabniyun. They are indeclinable. That means the endings don't change. The ending of the numbers don't change except for the first part of the number 12, ithna ashara and ithnata ashrata. These two, the first part of the number can change. If it's mansub or majrur, we say instead of ithna ashara, ithnay ashara. If it's feminine, instead of ithnata ashrata, we say ithnatay ashrata. Okay, but these numbers are mabniyun. The endings don't change except the first part of the number 12. As far as the number 20, we said that it retains its same form. It doesn't matter if the ma'adud is masculine or feminine. And the ma'adud is going to be singular and plural. The ma'adud for ishrun is going to be singular and plural. So you say 20 students, the word student is going to be singular and plural. You say ishruna taliban or ishruna talibatan. So that's what we wanted to say in lesson 3. In lesson 4, we had a close look at the past tense, conjugation of the past tense verb. We had six of the pronouns, the isnad of six pronouns to the past tense verb. Third person, masculine singular, huwa dhahaba. Third person, feminine singular, hiya dhahabat. And then we had the masculine and feminine third person plurals, hum dhahabu and hunna dhahabna. And we had the first person, the second person, masculine singular, anta dhahabta. And first person singular, ana dhahabtu. So these are six forms of pronouns connected to the past tense verb. The other four forms we're going to have, or we had in lesson six, and I should say we're going to look at in lesson six today and in lesson seven next week, bi'idhin ilahi ta'ala. So the conjugation of the past tense form, we're going to look at it in some detail. Also in this lesson, number four, we had the negation of the past tense verb with ma, yani, ana dhahabtu, ana ma dhahabtu, I did not go. And we had the difference between na'am and bala in a negative question. And we had li anna, the preposition li plus the particle anna. And anna being from akhawatu anna, we said that. Yani the ism of anna is going to be mansub and the khabar is going to be marfu'un. In lesson 5, we had the very important introduction to the basic yani jumla fi'liya, yani the fa'il, the subject, do of the action, and the maf'ulun bi, the object of the action. Okay, we said the fa'il is always marfu'un with dhamma, and the maf'ulun bi is always mansub, its primary sign being fatha. We also said that the fa'il can be a pronoun, and the maf'ulun bi can also sometimes be a pronoun. And that's basically what we wanted to look at. in lesson 5. And today, inshallah, we're going to take lesson 6, which takes us a little bit further in the conjugation of the past tense verb with the second person feminine singular, yani anti dhahabti, and the numbers from 11 to 20 here, yani review of them with the feminine ma'adud. And then we have several other yani secondary points like the word ayyu, yani its i'rab can be marfoon, mansoob, or majroor. We're going to look at that. And the verb adhunnu, and then yani some other yani small points that are contained in this particular lesson. We're going to look at that at this point. Right now we're going to take a look at the English key for lesson number 6, beginning on page 19. Page 19, 20, and 21, and the vocabulary on page 22. So we're going to look at that now, and then we'll look at the translation and grammatical analysis of the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson on page 36, 37, and 38. Okay, so let's go now to lesson 6, English key, page 19. Lesson 6, English key, page 19. The first thing I want to say before we actually read from the lesson, after the quick review of the first 5 lessons, I want to remind everyone that even though this is a preview for book 2, in order for you to really benefit from this preview, you have to comprehend as much as possible of what we are covering in terms of the grammatical points for each lesson. Okay, obviously you're not going to master all of these grammatical points in this preview, but you want to become familiar with the concepts. And in order for those concepts to stick, since we are not doing the exercises at this point, in order for those concepts to stick, it's important that you constantly go back over the English key, reading it again and again and again, and reading the vocabulary so that you'll be very, very familiar with this when we go into the full study of Medina Book 2. Inshallah, you'll find a great ease, as opposed to in the past, people who made the transition from Book 1 to Book 2 and sometimes found themselves overwhelmed by the magnitude of the information and the yani kathra, the yani how so many grammatical points and so many vocabulary words in Book 2 as compared to Book 1. So what we want to do is we want to try to reduce that feeling of being overwhelmed due to the great difference in the information and the level of study in Book 2 from Book 1. How we want to reduce that is by doing this preview to become acquainted with the grammar. And in order to do that, again, I'm saying please go back and read the lessons that we are previewing one by one weekly. Go back, try to go over those lessons and make sure that you retain as much of that information as possible. Okay, let's read now from lesson number 6, English key, page 19. At the top of the page, it says, in this lesson we learn the following. Okay, there are 11 grammatical points. Many of them are secondary points, but at least the first 4 are points that we should give careful attention to. Points that we should give careful attention to. So, the first point, number 1, is the habti. You went. This is the feminine singular. Second person, feminine singular. The habti. This pronoun ti that's attached to the verb dhahaba represents anti, yani second person, feminine singular, as though you're speaking to a female, an individual female. Speaking directly to somebody, that means second person. Feminine means that you're speaking to a female, and singular means that you're speaking to an individual. So it's second person, speaking directly to somebody, feminine, singular, anti, the habti. Okay, of course, we had the actual conjugation of the past tense verb in book 1. We went through some of this without complete analysis. So this is something that we should already be familiar with anyway. And we're going to study it in detail when we go back to the complete study of Medina Book 2. But here I want to say that previously we had in Lesson 4, in Lesson 4 we had much of the conjugation of the past tense verb. Okay, we had all the third person forms. Huwa dhahaba, hiya dhahabat, hum dhahabu, and hunna dhahabna. All the third person forms, masculine, feminine, singular, and plural. And then we had the second person, masculine, singular, second person, masculine, singular, anta dhahabta, and the first person, singular, ana dhahabtu. So we had 6 pronouns connected in isnad to the past tense verb in lesson 4. In lesson 4. In this lesson we have, yani, one more That is the second person feminine singular. We had the second person masculine singular, anta, dhahabta, and now we have anti, dhahabti. And in lesson 7, as we preview lesson 7, we'll see that we'll have the remaining pronouns that are connected to the past tense form, yani the two second person plurals, masculine and feminine, yani antum dhahabtum and antunna dhahabtunna, and the first person plural, nahnu dhahabna. We'll be looking at those in lesson 7. Okay, so this is the first point of this lesson. It is the continuation of the conjugation of the past tense verb, second person, feminine singular, anti dhahabti. Okay, so add that to anta dhahabta, and add that to huwa dhahaba, hiya dhahabat, hum dhahabu, and hunna dhahabna, and ana dhahabtu. Add that to these anti dhahabti. Second point of this lesson is also going back to what we had in lesson 3. I think we had lesson 3, yes. In lesson 3 we had the numbers from 11 to 20. So it says here, number 2, the numbers 11 to 20 with the feminine ma'adud. In lesson 3 we had it with the masculine ma'adud. Okay, so we have already looked at these numbers with the masculine ma'adud in lesson 3. Rules pertaining to these numbers with the feminine ma'adud have also been mentioned there. So we already looked at the rules related to both masculine and feminine ma'adud, but here we're going to see examples of the numbers from 11 to 20 with the feminine ma'adud. Okay, so as far as the rules concerning the numbers from 11 to 20 with feminine ma'adud, the rules are basically the same as what we had in lesson 3 with the masculine ma'adud. Okay, so we're going to just summarize them here. There were 4 points that we looked at. 2 of them are mentioned here. The other 2 we'll mention also along with these 2. So it says to summarize, A, 11 and 12, both parts of the number agree with the ma'adud, meaning in gender, masculinity and femininity. Both parts of the number are going to agree with the ma'adud. So if the ma'adud is masculine, both parts of the number should be masculine. So with a masculine ma'adud, taliban, you say, ahada ashara taliban. Ahada, yani is masculine, ashara is masculine. So they both agree with talib, which is, yani taliban, which is masculine, singular, yani, and mansub, singular and accusative case. Yani the ma'adud for 11 to 20, rather from 11 to 99. But here we're looking at 11 to 20, it's going to be singular, yani mufrad, and it's going to be in the accusative case, mansub, taliban. Ahada, ashara taliban. If the ma'adud was feminine, talibatan, then both parts of the number have to be feminine. Ihda is feminine, ashrata is feminine. As opposed to ahada, ashara, ihda, ashrata, talibatan. Alright, that's for the numbers 11 and 12. Both parts of the numbers are going to agree with the ma'adud in gender, in being masculine or feminine. And they gave us the second example, ithna, ashara, taliban. Both parts of the number are masculine with the masculine ma'adud, taliban. Yani ithna is masculine, ashara is masculine, with the feminine ma'adud, talibatan. Ithnata, ashrata. Ithnata, ashrata, talibatan. So ithnata is the feminine of ithna, and ashrata is the feminine of ashara. So both parts of the number here are going to be feminine. Ithnata, ashrata, talibatan, with the feminine ma'adud. And the same thing for the rest of the numbers. There's a note here. It says, note that the letter sheen has fatha in the masculine number 10, ashara. The sheen has fatha, ashara. And it has sukoon in the feminine number 10, ashrata. Ashrata. The sheen has sukoon in the feminine form of the number 10. In the masculine form, it has fatha. So please make a note of that. The opposite rule, yani, the sheen taking fatha or sukoon, is for the numbers from 1 through 10. But with the compound numbers, yani, it came like this. The masculine number 10 has fatha. The feminine number 10 has sukoon. Okay, that's the first point that we want to mention for the numbers from 11 to 20. The numbers 11 and 12, both parts of the number, are in agreement with the ma'adud in terms of being masculine or feminine. B, the numbers 13 to 19. In these numbers, the second part agrees with the ma'adud. The second part of the number agrees with the ma'adud, and the first part does not. Yani the first part is going to be, it's not going to be in agreement. It's going to be opposite the ma'adud in gender. The second part is going to be in agreement with it. So, for example, you have, yani with the masculine ma'adud, thalathata ashara taliban. Thalathata. Notice that thalathata is the feminine number because here the ma'adud is masculine. Thalathata ashara. Thalathata is feminine in gender. Ashara is masculine to agree with the taliban, the ma'adud that's masculine. If it's a feminine ma'adud, talibatan, we have thalatha ashrata talibatan. Thalatha is masculine, ashrata is feminine with the feminine ma'adud. Then they also gave us another example of that. Thamaniyata ashara taliban. 18 students. Thamaniyata is the feminine number with a masculine ma'adud. Ashara is a masculine number with a masculine ma'adud. So the first part of the number is going to be opposite. Thamaniyata, feminine, with the masculine ma'adud. And the second part of the number, ashara, is going to be in agreement with the ma'adud in gender. Ashara, masculine, adad, with taliban, masculine ma'adud. Same thing on the other side, feminine. Thamani, asharata, talibatan. Feminine ma'adud, the first part of the number is going to be opposite, masculine. Thamani. And the second part of the number, ashrata, is feminine. It's going to be in agreement with the feminine ma'adud. Okay, so for the numbers from 13 to 19, what we want to note here is what? That there are two parts of a compound number. The first part is going to be opposite the ma'adud. And the second part is going to be in agreement with. Or you can look at it, yani conceptually, from another perspective. And that is, the number, the second part, the number that's closest to the ma'adud is closer to it because it's in agreement with it. And the number that's further away from it, the first part of the number, is further away because it's in disagreement with it. And it's opposite in gender. So, and in Islam we have what? That, yani we don't have mixing between males and females. So, the opposite gender stays away. And the same gender comes near. Yani that's one way of trying to remember this. Okay, so that's what they, and then they have a note here. They said, in thamani asharata, the word thamani has sukoon. Please note that the number 8 is an irregular number. It has several irregularities. This is one of them. That when you have a feminine ma'adud, which the first part of the number is going to be masculine, the number 8 has sukoon. It doesn't have, like the rest of the numbers, a fatha, because these numbers are, as we're going to see in a moment, the compound numbers are mabniyun. Mabniyun means the vowel doesn't change. So they should all end with fatha, except we see here that thamani, instead of having fatha, it has sukoon. You just have to make a note of that and memorize it. Okay, so these are the two points that they mention here in the summary of the numbers from 11 to 20. 11 and 12, both parts of the numbers are in agreement with the ma'adud. 13 to 19, the first part of the number furthest away is opposite in gender. And the second part, which is nearest to it, is in agreement in gender. Those are two points. The two points that we mentioned in lesson 3, that are not mentioned here in this summary, is that these numbers, compound numbers, are all mabniyun. They are indeclinable, meaning the endings are fixed on fatha. They don't change. The exception to that, we saw in the number thamani here, it has sukoon in this particular case. And also, in all cases, the number 12, the first part of it, the first part of the number 12 is not mabniyun, it's mu'rab, it does change. So it's ithna ashara if it is marfu'un, and if it's mansub or majroor, ithna becomes ithnay. And with the feminine ma'adud, ithnata if it's marfu'un, and ithnatay if it's mansub or majroor. Okay, and the last thing, the fourth point, is that the number 20, it doesn't change its form in relation to the ma'adud being masculine or feminine. It's the same form, ishruna taliban and ishruna talibatan. It doesn't change its form due to the gender of the ma'adud. And also we said that the ma'adud for the number 20 is going to be mufrad and mansub, just like the numbers from 11 through 19, or rather the numbers from 11 through 99. The ma'adud is going to be singular, mufrad, and in the accusative case, mansub. Okay, that's what we wanted to say about the numbers. This is really a review of the numbers. It's just that in this lesson, we're going to see them with the feminine ma'adud. We already looked at these numbers. We previewed these numbers in lesson 3. And if we have been going back and reviewing them, then inshallah these rules should begin to stick in our mind. Okay, it may not be completely clear, but at least you're becoming familiar. You know that there's a rule for 11 and 12, and there's a different rule for 13 to 19. So that's what we really want to keep in mind. The rules for 11 and 12 are go one way, and the rules for 13 to 19, yani, are a little bit slightly different. Okay, now we want to take a look at the third point of this particular lesson. The word ayyu, which means which. It's an ism istifham, yani a noun that's used to ask a question. Istifham means seeking fahm, seeking understanding. How do you seek understanding? Well, one way to seek understanding is to ask questions. So ayyu is an ism istifham, a noun that's used to ask a question. It means which. Which student, which book, which pen, like this. We have learned this word in book 1. Where in book 1? In lesson 14, in the English key, on page 42, point number 7. In book 1, lesson 14, English key, page 42, point number 7. We had the word ayyu in book 1. And what we learned there is that it is always mudaf to the noun following it. It is always mudaf, and the noun following it is therefore majrur, because it is mudaf ilayhi. Okay? The first part of an idafa construction we learned in book 1, lesson 4. It's called the mudaf. And the second part is called the mudaf ilayhi. So since this word ayyu, and we've seen other words like this that are always an idafa, like dhu is always an idafa, right? So ayyu is always an idafa. It means that the word following it is going to be its mudaf ilayhi. And the word that's mudaf ilayhi is always in Arabic, majroor. It's always majroor. The primary sign of a word being majroor is that it takes kasra. So a word following a preposition is going to be majroor. It takes kasra. A word that's the second part of an idafa construction, mudaf ilayhi, is going to take kasra because it's majroor. These are the two reasons why a word will be majroor. In Arabic, two fundamental basic reasons is because it's the object of a preposition or the second part of an idafa construction. So here, the word ayyu, which means which, is always in idafa, all the time. So the word connected to it, immediately following it, is always going to be mudaf ilayhi majroor. Yani it means it's going to be in the genitive case. And the primary sign of that is that it's going to take kasra, the word following it. As far as the word ayyu, that word, it's mu'rab. It can be majroor with kasra, it can be marfu'un with dhamma, it can be mansub with fatah. That's what we want to look at in this lesson. We saw ayyu before, and we said that it's always an idafa, and the word following it is always mudaf ilayhi majroor, but we didn't discuss in any detail the word ayyu itself and its i'rab. What is its case ending? We'll see here in the three examples that they give us that its case ending, it can be ending with dhamma, fatah, or kasra. So that means it can be marfu'un with dhamma, can be mansub with fatah, can be majroor with kasra. Let's look at the three examples they give us for ayyu. The first example, ayyu talibin kharaja. Note that the word following ayyu, talibin, is mudaf ilayhi majroor with kasra. Yani with a double kasra, tanween. Ayyu talibin kharaja, which student went out. The second example, ayya with fatha, ayya kitabin qara'ta. Which book did you read? Ayya with fatha, kitabin mudaf ilayhi majroor with kasra, qara'ta. Which book did you read? And the third example, bi ayyi. Here a has kasra. Bi ayyi qalamin katabta. Bi ayyi, with which pen? Yani, which pen did you write with? Literally, with which pen did you write? Bi ayyi qalamin katabta. Here we see that ayyi has kasra. It's majroor because of what? It's the object of the preposition bi. Bi ayyi qalamin. Qalamin is mudaf ilayhi majroor. And then the verb katabta. Now what we want to note here is that in these three examples, a, in each case, a has a different vowel ending, a different case ending. In the first case, ayyu is with dhamma. In the second case, ayya with fatha. And in the third case, ayyi is with kasra. Note, in the note under these three examples, it says, note that the word ayyi is marfu'un in the first sentence because it is mubtada, because it's mubtada. So it's marfu'un with dhamma. And it is mansub in the second sentence. Yani, ayya kitabin qara'ta. It's mansub in the second sentence because it is maf'ulun bi. And therefore it has fatha. And it is majrur in the third sentence. Yani, bi ayya qalamin katabta. Because it is preceded by the preposition bi. Alright, let's take another look at this, what is just mentioned here. Note that the word A is marfu'un in the first sentence. Why? Because it's a mubtada. It's the mubtada of the sentence. And therefore, it is marfu'un. Ayyu talibin. Talibin is mudawf ilayhi majrur, and kharaja is the khabar. Mubtada, ayyu, kharaja, the sentence. Kharaja is the khabar. So in this case, because ayyu is the mubtada'un, and mubtada'un is always marfu'un, we see it with dhamma. In the second case, it says, ayya kitabin qara'ata. It says, it is mansub in the second because it's maf'ulun bi. Because it's the maf'ulun bi. What do we mean, maf'ulun bi? It means it's the object of the verb qara'ata. It's just that, normally we are used to seeing the fi'l, fa'l, and maf'ulun bi coming after. But here the maf'ulun bi came first because why? Because it's a question word. Ism, istifham, and we'll learn in the future, in level 3, that the ism, istifham, a word that's used to ask a question, has a right to always come first. So even though normally it should come after the verb, but it's coming first here because it's a question word. Ism, istifham, it has the right to always come first. So actually, yani, the normal arrangement of this sentence, if ayya, the object of the verb, if it wasn't a question word, it would be qara'ata ayya kitabin. Yani, it would come after qara'ata. It would come after the fi'l and the fa'il. Qara'a and ta is the fa'il. Then would come the maf'ulun bi ayya. That's the normal sentence. If it wasn't a question word, it would be qara'ata ayya kitabin. In that case, you could see the ayya is the maf'ulun bi, and therefore it should be mansub, and that's why it's taking fatha here. But because it's a question word, it's coming ahead of its verb. It's coming ahead of its verb because it has the right to always come first as a question word. In the third sentence, bi ayyi qalamin, I think it's crystal clear that it's majrur because it is preceded by a preposition. It's the object of a preposition. And we know that fundamentally the object of a preposition is always majrur, the primary sign of a word when it's majrur is kasra. There are also secondary signs which we'll see later on. Alright, so these three examples make us to know that the word ayyi, which means which, it's a question word, therefore it always comes first. And it is also always an idhafa, so the word following it is always going to be mudhafan ilayhi, majrur. But the word ayyi itself, it can be marfu'un with dhamma, mansub with fatha, or majrur with kasra. That's what we want to say concerning the word ayyi. And again, this is a preview, so at least now, and if you were not familiar with this before, if you never studied this before, at least now you have an idea about this word. A, you know two important things, that it's always used in idhafa, and two, that its i'rab can change from dhamma to kasra to fatha depending on its function in the sentence. The next point that we want to look at is point number 4 on the bottom of page 19, adhunnu. This is a verb. The past tense is dhanna, and the present tense is yadhunnu. Here we have the first person, ana adhunnu. It means to think. Meaning, not to think, yani to reflect on something, but to think, meaning I think he is the one. Meaning, I am not certain. Dhan means that a person is not certain about something. I think he is the one, okay? So, here when we say I think, we don't mean I'm reflecting, contemplating on it. No, it means I'm not certain, but I think it is. So they gave us the example, أَظُنُّ أَنَّهَا ذَهَبَتْ إِلَى مَكَّةَ. And if somebody asks, where is the sister so-and-so? And the answer is, أَظُنُّ, I think, I'm not certain, أَظُنُّ أَنَّهَا, that she, ذَهَبَتْ, went إِلَى مَكَّةَ, to Mecca. I think that she went to Mecca. Here in this sentence, أَنَّ is a sister of إِنَّ. in أظن أنها. أن is a sister from أخواتُ إن, and so its اسم is منسوب and its خبر is مرفوع. Let's stop right here before we turn to the next page and look at this one more time. أن is a sister of إن. It's from the أخواتُ إن, so it works like إن, and it's used with a مبتدا and a خبر, and the مبتدا becomes اسم أن in this case. يعني from the أخواتُ إن becomes اسم أن, and the خبر becomes خبر أن. So, because it's from أخواتُ إن, its اسم is going to become منسوب, and its خبر is going to be مرفوع. So the sentence they gave us, أظن أنها ذهبت إلى مكة. The اسم of أن is the pronoun ها, and the خبر of أن is the sentence. يعني ذهبت is the sentence ذهبت. What we want to note here though is that if the ism of أن was a clear noun, we would see it becoming منسوب, and we would see the sign of it being منسوب being فتحة. But because it's a pronoun and pronouns are مبني and they're fixed, we don't see any change in the pronoun ها, except that we see this is the يعني منسوب form of the pronoun, يعني representing here. Okay, it's the, and we when we use inna or enna or any of the akhawatu inna, then we have to change a pronoun to the mansub form. Okay, so the mansub form of here is ha. So you say ennaha. Okay, so what I want to note here is what? That the ism of enna, like the ism of inna, is going to be mansub. Here it's a pronoun. So we say, we don't say it's mansub, we say it's mabniyun, in the place where it should be mansub. Okay, let's turn the page and look at other examples that show the very same thing. First example, on top of page 20. أَظُنُّ أَنَّ حَامِدًا مَرِيضٌ. I think that Hamid is marid. Okay, here we have what? Here we have a clear noun as the ism of أَنَّ. So we see it's mansub. And the خَبَر is also a clear noun, so we see that it's مَرْفُوعٌ. Okay, the ism of أَنَّ is going to be mansub, and the khabar of anna is going to be marfu'un. So we see, أَظُنُّ أَنَّ حَامِدًا mansub, مَرِيدٌ marfu'un. I think that Hamid is sick. Next example, أَظُنُّ أَنَّ الْإِمَامَ جَدِيدٌ. I think that the imam is new. يعني, the ism of anna is الْإِمَامَ, and the khabar of anna is jadidun. The original sentence before anna enters is al-imamu jadidun. But after anna, anna al-imama jadidun. The same thing with hamidun maridun. But after anna, anna hamidan maridun. The next example, adhunnu anna fatimata ghaibatun. I think that Fatima is absent. Adhunnu anna fatimata غائبةٌ. The original sentence would have been without أن, فاطمة with ضمة غائبةٌ مبتدا and خبر. فاطمة is مبتدا مرفوعٌ, غائبةٌ خبر مرفوعٌ. But after أن, the مبتدا becomes اسم أن and it becomes منسوب. أن فاطمة غائبةٌ. I think that Fatima is absent. In the last example, أظن أنك متعبٌ. أظن أنك ك. The ism of أن here is a pronoun ك. So the original sentence would have been, I think that you are tired. The original sentence would have been أنت متعبٌ. أنت متعبٌ. But after أن we change أنت to ك, to the mansub form أنك. Instead of أن أنت we say أنك متعبٌ. Alright, أظن أنك متعبٌ. I think that you are tired. What we want to note here in this particular case is that in the original sentence, you are tired, instead of I think you are tired, you are tired, the pronoun was أنتَ متعبٌ. But we have to change that pronoun after we attach أنَّ to a mansub form of the pronoun, which is كَ. أنتِ becomes كِ. أنا becomes يعني أني. يعني يا المتكلم, and so on. أظن أنك متعبٌ. So, the pronoun ka here is the ism anna. Since it's a pronoun, we don't say it's mansub. Ism anna is always mansub, but here it's a pronoun, so we say it's mabniyun in the place where it should be mansub. Fi mahalli nasb. Okay, so this is what we wanted to say about the verb adhunnu, that it can be used with the particle anna. Okay, the particle anna. If it's not used with the particle anna, we'll see in the future that the verb dhanna, it actually, if it's not used with the particle anna, we'll see later on that it makes two nouns. It makes two nouns mansub. And it has two maf'ools. Both of them are going to be mansub. But when we use it with anna, then the ism anna becomes mansub. If it's a pronoun, becomes, yani, it's mabniyun in the place where it should be mansub, and the khabar, yani, is marfoon. Alright, so we'll be looking at, yani, this verb, dhanna, yadhunnu, in the future, without anna. But here with anna, what we want to note is that anna is from akhawatu inna, therefore the ism of anna is mansub, and the khabar of anna is marfoon. Okay, let's go on to the next point, number 5, on page 20, point number 5. Number 5, it says, قَالَ إِنَّكَ أَحْسَنُ طَالِبٍ فِي الْفَصْلِ قَالَ, yani he said, إِنَّكَ, indeed you are, أَحْسَنُ طَالِبٍ, the best student, فِي الْفَصْلِ, in the classroom. Yani إِنَّ is the particle of emphasis, right? So, the actual meaning of inna is emphasis. Indeed, surely, certainly. Okay, so the teacher said, innaka, indeed, certainly, surely, no doubt. You are, anta. Yani, innaka, anta. Ahsanu talibin, the best student in the filfasli, in the classroom. Note that after qala, the particle inna is used and not anna. We saw before, adhunnu anna. Now we see qala inna. So what we want to note here is that the particle inna and anna, those particles inna and anna are both particles of ta'keed or tawkeed and nasb. Both of them have the same meaning, emphasis. Although anna is normally translated as that, actually it is just like inna, particle of tawkeed, emphasis. And it works the same as inna. Except that, how do you know when to use one or the other? Well, inna is always used in the beginning of a sentence. Inna. Anna is used in every other place. If it's not the beginning of the sentence, you're going to use anna. In the beginning of the sentence, you're going to use inna. If it's not in the beginning of the sentence, you're going to use anna. The exception to that is inna is used in the beginning of the sentence, and it's also used after the verb qala and its derivatives. Qala, past tense, yaqulu, present tense, or qul, the fi'l amr. So, inna is used in the beginning of the sentence, and it's also used after qala. Because actually, when you say he said, after qala, you begin the sentence, what the person said, right? So, in this sense, it is still the beginning of the sentence. But in case the person becomes confused, inna is only used in the beginning of the sentence, and the exception to that is after, in a quote, after you say qala, or yaqulu, or qul. Otherwise, inna is used in all other situations. So inna and anna both are used for emphasis, except that inna is used in the beginning of the sentence and after qala, and anna is used in all other cases. Point number 6. Lima, lam kasra mim fatta. Lima means why. Why? Why did you do that? Why are you saying that? Why are you here? If it stands alone, the letter H is added to lima. Yani lam kasra mim fatta with a H, a ha, as in huwa and allahu, that ha is added to it with sukoon, if it stands alone. If this expression lima is by itself, not in a sentence, then you add the ha with sukoon to it. This is called ha'u as-sakti. Ha'u as-sakti. Yani the ha that is silent. It doesn't have a vowel. Yani sukoot, sakin. No vowel. This is called ha'u as-sakti. That's all they're saying here, okay? If you see the combination of li and ma, which actually means limada. It means limada, why? Okay, this is a short form of limada, lima. But if it's by itself, then you add an H to it, and you and that H, yani that ha should have a sukoon. Okay, I do want to, yani before we go to point number 7, I want to go to the exercises for this lesson on page 44, exercise number 15. I should have made a note in that in the homework, it slipped my mind, but I just want you to just take a look to fully understand this lima when it's by itself and when it's in a sentence. Okay, so they gave us some examples for lima, which means limada, on page 44, exercise number 15 for this particular lesson, number 6. They said, when it's used in a sentence, lima, without the H. Lima kharajta min al-fasli, why did you go out of the room? And then they gave us another example, right underneath that, lima darabta hadha al-walada. Lima darabta hadha al-walada, why did you hit this boy? Here we see it's not by itself, therefore, no H, yani the ha with sukun is not added here. But on the next half of the page, just right after lima kharajta min al-fasl, we see yani a series of statements. Akharajta min al-fasl, did you go out of the room? Na'am, yes. And then lima, why? Here lima is by itself, therefore we add the ha, yani with sukun, known as ha sakti. Okay, another example. Yani, beside lima darabta hadha al-walad, why did you hit this boy? Lima, when it's in a sentence, it doesn't have the ha with sukun. But if you go across, you see series of statements and questions. Adarabta hadha al-walada, did you hit this boy? Na'am, yes. Lima, here lima is by itself, so we have ha as-sakti, yani, with the ha with sukun. Okay, so these are just two examples of showing the contrast between lima, yani lam kasra mim fatta, without the ha with sukun, and lima when it's by itself, where we add the H to it with the sukun. Okay, so just make a note of that for point number 6. Go back and look at exercise number 15, page 44, lima, which means why. An extra H is added when it's by itself, known as ha'u as-sakti, ha with sukun, doesn't have a vowel. Number 7. Okay, number 7. We have learned in book 1 some examples of adjectives ending with an. For example, jawanu, hungry. Atashanu, thirsty. Ghadabanu, angry. And we also had kaslan, mal'an, and so on. Okay, we had this adjective on this pattern. Yani, that ends with an, yani fatta alif noon, added to the root letters. Okay, fatta alif noon extra added to the root letters. This is a pattern for an adjective. The feminine of such adjectives is on the pattern of, instead of fa'alan, it's on the pattern of fa'ala, meaning without the noon. Yani just fatta alif without the noon. So for example, jaw'an would become jaw'a without noon. Yani jim fatta waw sukun ain fatta alif maksura. Yani that alif on the end is alif maksura. Jaw'a. Atashan would become atasha. Ghadabanu would become ghadaba. This is the form for the feminine of this type of adjective. Its feminine form is on the pattern of fa'la. Jaw'a, atasha, ghadaba. Okay, the plural of both masculine and feminine is on the pattern of fi'alu. Yani the first radical root letter takes kasra, the second one takes fatha and alif. Fi'alu. And therefore, yani the plural form of atashan or atasha is i'tash. Yani the first radical ayn takes kasra, the second radical ta takes fatha alif. I'tash. Ghadban or ghadaba, its plural would be ghidab. First radical, ghain takes kasra. Second radical, dhad takes fatha alif. Ghidab. And there's some irregularity in the plural form for jaw'an. Yani the word that means hungry, jaw'anu, its feminine form is jaw'a, but its plural, which yani the root is jim, waw, ayn, should be, on the pattern of fi'al, it should be Jiwa. Jiwa. But the waw here is changed to a ya to correspond with the kasra. So instead of jiwa'u, it became jiya'un. So jaw'anu, feminine form, jaw'a, a plural for both of them, jiya'u. And also note that the plural of kaslanu, and yani the masculine form and the feminine form, kasla, the plural for both of them is kusala. The pattern for the plural is fi'al. It should be kisalun. Kisalun, but instead, there's an irregularity here. And instead of kisalu on the pattern of fi'al, it became kusala. Kusala. Okay, this is what we wanted to say in terms of this adjectives of this pattern. Jaw'an, atshan, ghadban. Their plural, their feminine is jaw'a, atsha, ghadba, yani just removing the noon, and there, that's the feminine, and the plural is yani on the pattern of fi'al. Number 8, they had the word in this lesson hati. We'll see it when we do the full study of this lesson, which means give or bring. Note its isnad to other pronouns of the second person. Remember, this is a command form verb, so the command form is only used with the second person. It can be second person masculine or feminine, singular or plural. So here they're giving us the forms of this verb in the command form. Second person, masculine, singular, Ya Ahmadu Hati. Plural, masculine, plural, Ya Ikhwanu Hatu. And the next line, feminine, singular, Ya Zainabu Hati, with elongation. And the feminine, plural, Ya Akhawatu Hatina. The next point is number 9, khudh. This also came in this lesson. This is a command form, fi'l amr, khudh, which means take. Yani from the verb akhadha. This is the fi'l amr, khudh. You will learn the imperative form of the verb in lesson 14. Sometime in the future, lesson 14, we'll see the imperative form of the verb. And we'll see that this is a verb that has some irregularity because it begins with a hamza from akhadha. And we'll see that such verbs as this in their command form are going to be a little bit different. We'll look at that when we come to it. Point number 10 is فَفَرِهَ بِي الْمُدَرِّسُ كَثِيرًا. So, fa means so, the teacher was greatly pleased with me. Yani, he was pleased. فَرِحَ بِي with me الْمُدَرِّسُ كَثِيرًا. Yani, he was pleased with me a lot, greatly pleased with me. Here, the fa means so. Yani, this fa is a preposition, a conjunction that's added to Fariha. Okay, the original verb is fariha. Fa is added to it. Fa, fariha. Fa, so, fariha. He was pleased. Bi, and the bi here means with me. Yani the preposition bi plus ya al-mutakallam. Bi, with me. So, fa means so, and bi means with me. Fa, so, fariha bi. He was pleased with me. Who was pleased with me? Al-mudarrisu, the teacher. Kathiran, much, a lot, or greatly. Note also, this verb, fariha, the preposition that's used with it is be. The preposition used with this verb is be. So you're going to see, yani, as in the example here, fariha bi, he was pleased with me. You note here, they gave us some more examples. Farihtu bika. Farihtu, ana farihtu, I was pleased, bika, with you. The preposition be is used with the verb fariha. So you say farahtu bi with ka anta. Farahtu bika. I was pleased with you. You say farihu. They were pleased bina with us. Bina with nahnu with us. Turn over to page 21. Another example. Afarihta bihi afarihta. Were you pleased? Farihta anta. Afarihta bihi. Were you pleased with him? Here, the he here is the pronoun who. When it is preceded by kasra or ya, with sukoon, the who becomes he. Now, the last point, note that the verb tha, thel, ha, ba, ta can be read in four ways with four different meanings. It can be read, dhahabat, with the ta with sukoon, means he dhahabat, she went. Can be read, ذهبت يعني أنت ذهبت, you masculine singular went. It can be read as ذهبتي, يعني أنت ذهبتي, you feminine singular went. Or it can be read as ذهبتُ, يعني أنا ذهبتُ, I went. Okay, so this word ذهبتا, if it doesn't have vowels, you have to look at the context, because it can be read as تا with سكون ذهبت, تا with فتة ذهبتا, with كسرة ذهبتي, or with ضمة ذهبتُ. Quickly, want to look at the vocabulary before we go to the Arabic text. So I'm going to read from the right side first and go down. From the right side on page 22, 17 vocabulary words or expressions. Kawa, its mudari form is yakwi. Kawa means he ironed, like he ironed some clothing. Fahimtuhu jayyida. Fahimtu means I understood. Hu, it, jayyida, well. فَهِمْتُهُ جَيِّدًا زَادَكَ اللَّهُ عِلْمًا. May Allah increase your knowledge. Or literally, زَادَكَ. زَادَ means to increase. كَ, أَنْتَ. May Allah increase you. اللَّهُ, may Allah increase you. عِلْمًا, in knowledge. May Allah increase you. زَادَكَ اللَّهُ. زَادَكَ اللَّهُ. May Allah increase you. أَنْتَ, in knowledge. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. Literally, what Allah wills. يعني it is what Allah wills. An expression of surprise or joy. ما شاء الله. راكب, passenger. يعني راكب is from راقبة, to ride. A راكب is on the pattern of فاعل, like كاتب, a writer. راكب, a rider. نعم, راكب means a passenger in a bus, train, plane, boat, whatever. فارحة means he was pleased. خادمة means a female servant, maid servant. Going over to the left column from the top. مجلة with شد on the lamb means a magazine. عمارة with عين. عمارة means a building. يعني like an apartment building or something. سورة with سين. سورة means a surah, a chapter of the Quran. Shiqqatun with kasra or shaqqatun with fatha, both of them are correct, means a flat or an apartment that somebody lives in. Shiqqa or shaqqa. Sinnun with shadda on the noon means a tooth. Sinnun, asnan is its plural. Kalimatun means a word. Ya bunayya means oh my little son or oh my dear son. Yani bunayya is the تصغير, the diminutive form of ibn. Bunayya. Masroorun means to be pleased or happy. Faqat, fa, qaf, ta with sukoon. Faqat means only. And ja'a means he came. Okay, this is what we wanted to cover in terms of the English key and the vocabulary. Now let's look at the Arabic text. I'm going to the Arabic text on page 36. It's three pages, 36, 37, and half of 38. So we're going to look at this Arabic text. Hopefully you already read it and tried to work with it a little bit. Yani reading it, translating it, and analyzing the grammar, especially the new grammar points that are in this lesson 6. So this this part of the session is something, it's for us to practice our reading skills and also practice our translation skills and also to identify the grammar and vocabulary, especially the new grammar and vocabulary that came in this lesson. We're going to see in this lesson, almost in every line, we're going to see a past tense verb. So this is the main core of this lesson, the past tense verb. We're going to see different forms. We're going to see the first person, tu. We're going to see the second person, ta and ti, which came in this lesson. We're going to also see, mostly that. We're going to see ta and ti, second person masculine and feminine singular. And we're going to see tu, first person singular. And we may also see third person masculine and feminine forms, like ذهب and ذهبت, ta with sukoon. So we're going to see the ta with sukoon, ta with fatta, ta with kasra, ta with dhamma. The four forms of this verb that we said, tha, ha, ba, and ta. And it can be read in four different words. It can be read with sukoon, can be read with dhamma, or fatha, or kasra. We're going to see all of those in this lesson, so let's pay attention to that. Okay, let's read 36, top of the page. It says, ad-darsu as-sadisu. Ad-darsu as-sadisu. طيب. The mother says, متى رجعت من المدرسة يا بني؟ متى رجعت من المدرسة يا بني؟ When did you return from the school, oh my dear son? Here we see رجعت. Second person, masculine, singular. أنت رجعت. Saeed answers saying, رجعت قبل نصف ساعة. I returned before a half an hour or half an hour ago. رجعت, we see first person, singular, تو. رجعت. The mother says, أين أختك مريم? Where is your sister Maryam? أما رجعت? Has she not returned? Here we see the third person, feminine, singular, ta with sukoon, raja'at. This ta is the sign of femininity. It's not the fa'il. It's not the subject do of the action. It's the sign of femininity which distinguishes it from the third person, masculine, singular, raja'a, raja'at. The ta just means that this is third person, feminine, singular, sign of femininity. Alamat al-ta'anith. Aina ukhtuka Maryam, where is your sister Maryam? Ama raja'at? Saeed says, La adri, I don't know. Ana ma ra'aytuha. Ma ra'aytuha. Ana, I ma ra'aytuha, did not see her. Here we have the first person singular, ra'aytu. Ra'aytu. Ma ra'aytuha. And we have ma, the negation, harf of negation for the past tense verb. Yani, I did not see her. Ha. The mother says, ماذا قرأت اليوم? What did you read today? Here we have ta, second person, masculine, singular, ta, أنت. ماذا قرأت اليوم? What did you read today? Saeed says, قرأت اليوم درسا جديدا في الفقه. I read today a new lesson in fiqh. Here we have, again, first person, singular, تو, قرأت. The mother says, أفهمت هو? أفهمته, أفهمته, here we have second person, masculine, singular, أنت أفهمته, did you understand it? Who is referring back to the new lesson? Saeed says, نعم فهمته جيدا, yes, I understood it well. Here we have again first person, singular, تو, فهمته, and then the pronoun who, I understood it, referring back to the new lesson, جيدا, well. The mother says, أَمَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ الْيَوْمَ? أَمَا قَرَأْتَ? Here we have second person, masculine, singular, أَنْتَ قَرَأْتَ. أَمَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ الْيَوْمَ? Have you not read the Qur'an today? Here I just want to note that in this sentence we have قَرَأَ as the fi'l, ta is the fa'il, and الْقُرْآنَ as the مَفْعُولٌ بِي مَنْسُوبٌ. اليوم is مَفْعُولٌ فِيهِ, يعني the indication of when the action took place, the time. مَفْعُولٌ فِيهِ ظَرْفْ الزَّمَانِ. Saeed says, did you not read the Qur'an today? This is a negative question. أَمَا قَرَأْتَ? So if indeed he did read, he's not going to say نَعَم, because this is a negative question. In a negative question, if somebody says, did you not read the Qur'an? And you did read, you don't say نَعَم, because نَعَم would mean, yes, I did not read. Did you not read? Yes, I did not read. You say, Bala, yes, qara'tu, I did, bala, instead of na'am, bala, qara'tu, surat al-Rahmani, wa hafidhtuha, yes, I read the chapter entitled Ar-Rahman, wa hafidhtuha, and I memorized it. Fa-fariha bi al-mudarrisu kathiran, fa-fariha bi, so he was very happy with me, who? Al-mudarrisu, kathiran, much. وقال, and then he said, that is the teacher, المدرس, وقال إنك أحسن طالب Fil Fasli, indeed, you are the best student in the classroom. You're the best student in the class. وَقَالَ إِنَّكَ. Here we want to note that after قَالَ we use إِنَّ, not إِنَّ. إِنَّ is always used in the beginning of the sentence or after قَالَ. قَالَ إِنَّكَ, indeed you, أنت, أحسن طالبٍ. Here's the أفعل والتفضيل, يعني from حسن, أحسن best طالبٍ في الفصل. And here we want to note that this is the superlative degree, because if it's comparative, يعني better than, you would say أحسن من, but here we didn't use من, we used a noun, يعني that is مجرور, يعني مضاف إليه مجرور, indicating superlative degree, يعني اسم تفضيل for the superlative degree of the adjective. You are the best student in the classroom. The mother says, ما شاء الله, it is the will of Allah. زادك الله علما يا بنية. زادك الله علما. زاد means to increase. Ka means أنت, increase you. الله, may Allah increase you. علما, in knowledge. يا بنية, O my dear son. يعني اسم تصغير. بنية means endearment or some or smallness. Sayyid says, أغسلتي قمصاني يا أمي. Have you washed my shirts? يعني قمصان is the plural of قميص. أغسلتي قمصاني. Have you washed my shirts يا أمي, O my mother. Here we have تي. أغسلتي يعني أنت, second person feminine singular. Answers, نعم, yes. غسلتها و كويتها. يعني remember كوا means to iron something. That's from the vocabulary for this lesson. غسلتها, I washed them, your shirts. وكويتها, and I ironed them. And I also ironed them. Here we want to note that the ha in غسلتها and كويتها, that ha is feminine singular because it's referring back to a غير عاقل plural that we had in lesson 16 and 17 in book 1. غير عاقل plural, قمصان. It's a plural and it's masculine, but it's a غير عاقل plural, so we treat it as though it's feminine singular. After she said, yes, I washed them and I ironed them, she says, خذ هذا القميص, take this shirt. خذ is from the verb أخذ, يأخذ, and it's فعل أمر, and it has a special form and a little bit different than the فعل أمر from other verbs. And in any case, we'll look at that in the future. We'll look at that in the future. خذ هذا القميص, take this shirt. يعني هذا is the مفعول به, but it is an اسم إشارة, so it's مبني. And القميص is the بدل for, and the بدل has the same ruling as the مبدل منه. So since هذا is in the place where it should be منسوب, القميص, here is منسوب. The next line, last line on this page, Sayyid says, Hati. This is the feminine form of Hati. Yani with a single kasra, the masculine, Hati. Feminine form, Hati. Thaka, ya ummi. Give me that one. Thaka, yani, thalika. Give me that one, O ummi. Thaka, ajmalu min hadha. That one is more beautiful than this one. That one is more beautiful than this one. Turn the page, 37. تدخلوا مريم. Maryam enters. Maryam enters the room. Maryam speaks. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you. كيف حالك يا أمي. How are you, O my mother. كيف حالك. يعني what she's speaking to? Her mother. وكيف حالك يا أخي. ك يعني speaking to a male. And how are you, O my brother. The mother responds, وعليكم السلام, and upon you be peace. أهلا يا بنتي, welcome to you, O my daughter. By the way, يعني Islamically from the Sunnah it is preferable, and from the Quran as well, that when a person gives you a greeting, you should return it with at least equal as it is here, or better than that, to return it with a better greeting. So it is preferable, though it's permissible, to return an equal greeting, but it's preferable to add to it something If somebody says to you, Assalamu alaikum, it is better that you add to it and say, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Or, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, like this. So, the mother responds, Wa alaikum assalam, ahlan ya binti, welcome, O my daughter, Mata kharajti, with kasra. Mata kharajti min al madrasati. When did you go out or come out of the school? Maryam answers, Kharajtu ba'da salati dhuhr. Dhuhri. Kharajtu, yani first person singular, to kharajtu ba'da salati dhuhri. I went out or came out after the prayer of dhuhr, dhuhr prayer. The mother says, Aina zamilatuki. Aina zamilatuki. Zamilat is the plural of zamila. Yani the feminine of zamil means a classmate or an associate on the job. Zamil is the masculine singular. Zamila with tarmabuta is the feminine singular. Zamilat is the sound feminine plural. Aina zamilatuki. Where are your classmates? Aminatu wa Fatimatu wa Su'adu. Where are your classmates? Amina and Fatima and Su'ad. Maryam says, Ana ma ra'aytuhunna ba'da salati. Ana ma ra'aytuhunna. I did not see them. Here again we have first person singular on the past tense verb form, ra'aytu. Ma ra'aytu hunna. I didn't see them ba'da salati, after the prayer. The mother says, Ya binti, O my daughter, akhuki hafidha surat al-Rahman. Akhuki, your brother, hafidha surat al-Rahman, memorized the chapter of Ar-Rahman. Ayya suratin hafidhti anti. Which surah did you memorize? Ayya, here we see a, yani with fatta. Ayya suratin, mudhaf ilayhi majroor, hafidhti. Ayya is the maf'ul bi from hafidhti. But it's coming first because it's a question word. Ism istifham. Ayya suratin hafidhti anti. And anti here is the pronoun used for emphasis. It's emphasizing the pronoun in the verb ti. Yani anti. Which surah did you memorize? Maryam says, Ana hafidhtu surat al-hadidi. Ana hafidhtu. Here we have first person singular again. Ana hafidhtu surat al-hadidi. I memorized the chapter of al-hadid, the iron. Wahiya atwalu min surat al-Rahmani. And it, yani surah al-hadid, the surah, hiya atwalu min surat al-Rahmani. It is longer than the chapter of Ar-Rahman. Here we have, yani af'al al-tafdil, atwalu min. With min we mean, it has the meaning of comparison, comparative degree. Atwalu min surat al-Rahmani. Wakadhalika, and likewise, similarly, additionally, wakadhalika, and similarly, or likewise, حَفِذْتُ سِتَّةَ عَشْرَةَ آيَةً مِنْ سُورَةِ النَّبَئِ. And likewise, or similarly, in the same way, in the same manner, I also memorized 16 آيات مِنْ سُورَةِ النَّبَئِ. And here we want to note that آيَة, يعني, is feminine. Therefore, the number Ashrata, the first part of the number that's furthest away from it, is opposite in gender. Sitta, masculine. Ashrata, feminine, with feminine ma'adud. And the ma'adud, yani for the numbers from 11 to 19, or rather from 11 to 99, always going to be singular, mansub. The mother says, MashaAllah, innaki talibatun mujtahidatun. MashaAllah, it is the will of Allah. Indeed, you, anti, innaki, talibatun mujtahidatun, are a hard-working, diligent student. Ana masruratun biki. I am masruratun. Masruratun is the feminine form of masrur. I am happy, I am pleased with you, biki, anti. Adhahabti, after a pause, adhahabti ila al-maktabati al-yawma, adhahabti, anti. Adhahabti ila al-maktabati Al-yawma, did you go to the maktaba, library, today? Maryam says, Naam, dhahabtu. Yes, I went. First person singular. Yani, dhahabtu. Naam, dhahabtu. The mother says, "ماذا قرأت هناك?" What did you read there? يعني هناك is there and هنا is here. ماذا قرأت هناك? What did you read there? Again, we have second person, feminine, singular, قرأت أنت. Maryam answers, قرأت to first person, singular, قرأت مجلة من باكستان اسمها الإسلام. I read a magazine from Pakistan. Its name or its title is Al-Islam. اسمها يعني the مجلة اسمها الإسلام. The mother says, أبي اللغة العربية هي. Is it in the Arabic language? يعني the meaning of this sentence, أهي يعني المجلة أهي باللغة العربية. Is it in the Arabic language? Maryam, لا هي باللغة الإنجليزية. No, it is يعني المجلة هي باللغة الإنجليزية. It is in the English language. The mother says, أذهبت إلى المديرة. Did you go to the female principal? أذهبت أنت إلى المديرة. Did you go to the مديرة? Maryam says, لا هي ما جاءت اليوم. Just give me 1 second. I have somebody at the door interrupting me. Just take a second. Allahu musta'an. Package is being delivered. Okay, let's see, where were we? Okay, yes, we were at the bottom of page 37. أذهبتي إلى المديرة. Did you go to the female principal? And at the top of page 38, Maryam says, لا هي ما جاءت اليوم. هي ما جاءت. I'm putting a kasra here because of التقاء ساكنين, but originally this verb is جاءت. يعني this is the third person feminine singular. جاء, هو جاء, هي جاءت. Because of التقاء ساكنين, يعني this particular تاء with سكون, if it's followed by همزة الاستفهام or ألف لام, then we have to add a kasra. لا هي ما جاءت اليوم. No, I didn't go to her, to the female al-mudira, because she didn't come today. ما جاءت اليوم. She didn't come today. The mother says, لما, يعني لما means لماذا. And here, لما, when it's by itself, you add the ha with sukun called ha u asakti. The silent ha doesn't have a vowel. لما meaning لماذا. Why did she not come today? Maryam says, أظن. I don't know for sure, but I think أنها ذهبت إلى مكة. I think that she went to Mecca. And again, we have the verb form ذهبت, which is the third person, feminine singular. يعني تا with سكون indicates the sign of femininity to distinguish ذهبا. هو ذهب from هي ذهبت. I think that she went to Mecca. The mother says, أشربتي الشاي. Did you drink tea? Here we have second person feminine singular, tea, أشربتي. And by the way, this tea came in this lesson a lot, and that's because tea, yani, was new for this particular lesson. Yani, the conjugation, the pronoun second person feminine singular, أنتي ذهبتي. أشربتي الشاي. Maryam says, لا ما شربت. No, I didn't drink. ما is the ما of negation, ما نافية, negation of the past tense verb, ما, لا, ما شربتو, no, I did not drink. يعني تا, the two here in شربتو is first person singular pronoun for the past tense verb. The mother says, للخادمتي, she's speaking to the maid servant. Hati, that's the feminine form of Hati. Hati, ashaya, ya Layla. Give or bring the tea, O Layla. That's the name of the khadima. Maryam says, Wahati qita'ata khubzin aydan ya Layla. And Maryam says, and bring a piece of bread also, O Layla. Ana jaw'a. Jaw'a is the feminine of jaw'anu. Ana jaw'a. The plural is jia'un. Ana jaw'a, I'm hungry. This is the end of this dialogue for lesson number 6, and I hope that we understand most of it. This is a preview. Again, I'm going to keep reminding us this is just a preview. We're going to study this lesson in full. We're going to go over this text in detail. We're going to do exercises, so that we become more proficient in the conjugation of the past tense verb and the other things that are mentioned in this lesson and the previous lessons. What is important is that from this, hopefully we're becoming more and more familiar with the grammatical rules that we're going to be studying in book 2. And also, please try to be memorizing every day, one word or two. And according to your ability, try to be engaged in memorization of the vocabulary words while we are studying any of these grammatical rules. Okay, so the time is up now, but I have to take a moment to remind us that the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us in a very, very strong way, fasting on the day of Arafat. We know that these are the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, very important days. There are no days in which deeds are more beloved to Allah than done in these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. We should be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah, dhikr and dua, reading the Quran, charity, and so on. Fasting is from the greatest of deeds, but especially on the day of Arafat. Tomorrow, Monday, is the day of Arafat. It's the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. The Prophet ﷺ said that he hoped and he expected that the reward for a person who fasts on the day of Arafat would be the expiation of their sins from the previous year and of the coming year. Yani expiation of one's sins from the previous year, this whole year, and the coming year. What greater reward can a person anticipate or hope for? Yani for fasting one single day. For whoever is able to fast, this is very, very important. It's not an obligatory fast, but it is highly, highly recommended. If you're not able to fast, then feed some fasting people. Yani because the person who feeds a fasting person will have a reward equal to the person who was fasting that they fed. So we hope that those who are able to fast will be fasting tomorrow. It is very, very important that you take advantage of this opportunity. Those who are not able to fast, look for worthy, needy Muslims who you can feed, who will appreciate greatly feeding them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appreciate and reward. May Allah accept from us all that we have done during these days, especially dhikr and dua and fasting and qira'atul Quran and performing the prayers and engaging in the takbir, the general takbir of the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, and the specific takbir that begin on Fajr, Yawmul Arafat. They begin on Fajr, Yawmul Arafat. That's tomorrow from Fajr. After each obligatory prayer, there's the dhikr. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Walillahi alhamd. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant tawfiq to me and to all of you, and that He accept from us, that He recognize, reward, and record our deeds, that He pardon and overlook our shortcomings, that He keep us firm upon that which is good, upon a sirat al-mustaqim, upon that which is pleasing to Him, until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. May Allah heal those of us who are sick, our loved ones who are sick, and may Allah grant us patience with the calamities that befall us, sickness or other than that, loss of loved ones, loss of property. May Allah grant us patience with that and help us to be patient by remembering the reality that we belong to Him, inna lillahi, and that we are going to return to Him, wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.